You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, agriculture is a huge part of Wisconsin's culture and history, but many young people aren't going into farming. We talk with a lawmaker who wants to make it a little easier for a new generation to join the field.
Right now, it's time for our weekly check-in on the latest in national politics. The FBI is currently investigating alleged Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election, so are congressional committees, but there's some roadblocks to that investigation coming from different parts of the government.
The recent failed GOP health care bill could spell trouble for Republicans going forward, and Donald Trump's son-in-law is heading up a task force on government innovation. We'll take a look at what that task force will do and why some people are skeptical.
Harry Enten is with us to break down the latest. He's a senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
A lot going on. Let's dive in. You wrote an interesting piece on that non-vote on the health care bill. And Congress, the Republicans, it's a little more complicated than it might look. People are talking, oh, the conservatives over here, the moderates over here. You say there's a whole nother axis, another dimension we should be paying attention to, insiders versus outsiders or establishment versus anti.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there were basically really two groups who were against the health care bill that was proposed by Paul Ryan and the Republicans among the Republican Party. One is that more moderate wing, which obviously worries about reelection. But there were a whole bunch of people that some had described as being conservative, that is the Freedom Caucus, who were up front, who were very much against the bill. But it turns out that there were plenty of conservatives who were also for the bill. But when you look at the dynamics that were going on, this Freedom Caucus, it's not just that they're conservative that is what distinguishes them, but it's also the fact that they seem to think that ideology is more important than party and that they're willing to take on the party leadership and not particularly care if something is good for the party if it doesn't align with their ideology. And I think that is a key thing that is missing from this whole debate, was that they couldn't convince the Freedom Caucus, the Republican leadership, to vote for this bill merely for the good of the party, because these types of people don't necessarily think about that first and foremost.
With the question, what's next out there, is this going to make it difficult to do things like tax reform or infrastructure or any of the other big priorities from Republicans and from the Republican president?
I think it certainly makes those more difficult. Doesn't make it impossible, but the fact that you have this group of, say, 25 to 30 members of the House among the Republican side who basically are saying my way or the highway, or have the ability to say that, and the Republican majority is such that they can only allow for so many people to leave their side, it makes the Freedom Caucus much more of a player and could drag the party further to the right. But at the same time, if the party goes further to the right, it could leave some of those moderate Republicans less willing to side with the party leadership.
And we hear talk about can the president work with Democrats? Can Republicans reach for their moderates and maybe lure some Democrats over for a future health care bill or whatever? What do those prospects look like?
You know, I have to be honest. Every single time that I hear that Donald Trump wants to work with Republicans, I laugh.
Democrats.
And the reason I laugh is because this is a president of the United States who accused the Democratic nominee of, you know, basically committing a crime and saying that she would be thrown in jail. And at the same time, if you look at how many Democrats are voting with the president of the United States so far in this Congress, it's quite low. And his approval ratings among Democratic voters is among the lowest I've pretty much ever seen.
So could we be looking at gridlock even with one party control of the whole shebang?
Well, we could be, but of course, you know, there's still time to be done. You know, we're only two months in, right? So we'll see where things go. But the fact that you have so many divisions within the House Republican caucus, and then you combine that with the Senate having its own issues and the Republican Senate being more moderate than the Republican House, to me, it suggests that they'll have some more difficulty passing bills than I think a lot of people thought, although not an impossible task.
Talking to Harry Enten from 538.com about the top stories in national politics. Let's look at the latest on the Russia investigation. Harry, saying Russia investigation really is a shorthand for so much stuff going on. What's the latest part of the story you're watching?
I think the real part of the story that I'm watching is the differences between the Republican. Remember, there's a House investigation going on and there's a Senate investigation going on. And then, of course, the FBI has its own investigation that's going on. So we have multiple investigations. But to me, the most interesting aspect is how the House Republican led effort, led by Representative Nunez, has really become a partisan affair, with Adam Schiff, the Democratic leading member of that investigation, basically saying we can't trust Representative Nunez while on the Senate side, it does seem that Democrats are working much better with Republicans. Mark Warner, the Democratic senator from Virginia, is working very well with Senator Richard Burr in North Carolina. And so I think if we're going to see real movement out of this investigation from a body of Congress, it's probably going to come from the Senate side, because the House side at this point looks like an absolute mess.
Yeah, a week ago, Representative Nunez had this impromptu-ish press conference talking about new information he'd been given. It turned out on the White House grounds about incidental collection of Trump campaign data, conversations, things like that. And that's been a big storm ever since then. And then he went and briefed the Trump administration about this.
Yeah, that to me was, you know, one of the big things, is that he basically went an investigation that could be involving the White House, that's supposed to be taking place in the Congress, and then going and talking to the White House, or at least members of the White House, on White House property, struck a lot of people as being not ethically very questionable. And the real thing to me going forward is whether or not the Republicans, a storm of Republicans who are asking Nunez to step aside. Right now he has the back of Speaker Paul Ryan, so that makes it a little bit more difficult. But if there's this drip, 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 that's when this investigation in the House could spiral out of control, and Nunez might be asked to step aside by more than just the Democrats.
And there's the Senate investigation. You mentioned some Democrats, and even I think John McCain has said, you know what, we probably need an independent investigation, not run by partisans in either House of Congress.
Yeah, that is what Senator John McCain said. And again, this just goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the conversation, is that the Senate does seem to be a little bit more moderate in its ways and doesn't seem necessarily to be as entrenched in the partisan ways of Washington that we've all become used to. And so it'll be interesting to see how much movement comes out of the Senate. But I think the fact that you had a joint press conference earlier today between Senator Mark Warner and Senator Richard Burr, Republican, indicates that that investigation has much more of a chance of succeeding and perhaps moving forward.
Speaking of the Senate, to the Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch, Democrats, a lot of them are saying no now, making it look less and less likely that Republicans can clear that 60-vote hurdle to avoid filibuster and avoid maybe the nuclear option. What are you watching for there?
You know, this is the question that has been we've been asking for the past few months. To me, it was fairly clear early on that Gorsuch, based upon his record, was not going to get 60 votes for confirmation. The question was whether or not there'd be 60 votes for an up or down vote. That, as you said, seems a lot more unlikely. And now the question is, does one side blink or not? And if you hear what each side is saying, I think that there's no conclusion to be reached other than the most likely outcome is that the nuclear option will be invoked by Mitch McConnell and the Republican Party, and it will get rid of the possibility in the future for nominees of the Supreme Court to be filibustered.
And the nuclear option meaning we don't need those 60 votes anymore. And Democrats had taken that in effect for lower court judges, not Supreme Court. So this, the filibuster keeps disappearing from some of these key Senate decisions.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. As you know, the filibuster is not something that's written in the Constitution. It's not like there's some great law that's overriding all of it, the idea that you can speak and basically debate for forever without a vote being held. And I think we're seeing the dismantling of that. You know, filibusters have been certainly on the rise over the last 30, 40 years. And before that, they were only used in very specific circumstances. And now what we're seeing is they're being used a lot more, and people are getting sick and tired of it, and they want up or down votes.
And Democrats learning that if they take away, if they give themselves more power while they're in the majority, well, the Republicans come into the majority, they get that power in turn.
And that's exactly right. You know, it's the funny thing is I sometimes think that majorities think that their majorities are going to last for forever, and they make rules that work for them when they're in the majority, but perhaps when they go to the minority, it won't work nearly as well. And I think what we're seeing in the Senate is a great example of that. But, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, you know, Republicans didn't even allow a hearing for Merrick Garland, who was initially going to be the nominee for the Supreme Court seat. And now I think Democrats were so upset about that that they're willing to lose the filibuster, if only to make a point on Neil Gorsuch.
Let's take a quick look at President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. He's going to head a business SWAT team, something that's going to try to create innovation in government, more efficiencies, drawing from the business world. A lot of presidents have vowed to make Washington work better. Is this different than past administrations?
I don't know if it's so different. I mean, perhaps it's a little bit different in terms of, you know, who's leading it, and Trump bringing in his son-in-law and a businessman and so on and so forth. But, you know, some people have pointed out it sounds awfully similar to an effort that was led in 1992, I believe, by the Bush White House, you know, to create, you know, a SWAT team to hit down bureaucracy. So it's what he promised, but to me, it's not anything that's extraordinary.
Harry, new data you're watching for briefly as we wrap up?
The only thing I'll be watching for is I'm very interested in the Georgia 6th congressional district runoff in a few weeks. If Democrats can do well there, it could be a good sign for them in the future for the House.
Harry, thanks as always for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. He joined us to talk about the latest in national politics.
Coming up after the news, young people who want to farm in Wisconsin could get some student debt relief if a bill in the assembly passes. We'll talk with a lawmaker whose bill aims to attract young people to the field of farming. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farah. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.